And we are on the air here on this Monday, the 23rd of October already.
Already.
And we have London Bridge Days.
No. Yes. Where has October gone?
I don't know.
It just started. Quickly. How could it possibly be that nobody leaves till we find October?
For sure.
What the heck?
Jim Russell, how
yes,
are you
indeed.
Doing?
I am doing well. My event season is behind me. I'm going to run for the border real shortly
yes.
here and leave this fun to you.
All right. Well, you know, it's a good-looking day out there.
It
beautiful
is.
Weather.
These are the days that remind us why we live in Havasu.
I've got a little bit of a cold, though.
I do, too.
You can hear it in my voice.
Well, and I think we both got it from our guest last Monday, John
yes.
Homerding. I think John. This is the Homerding flu.
Yeah, been coughing up and
yeah.
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, nice that we can share that with our listeners.
Yeah,
we'll try to keep
let you know. Anyway, hi. And we have some guests in the studio.
We do.
We have Kathy Dolan and Jennifer Meek, and they're both from the Interagency Council Victim Services Department. And welcome to the program, Kathy.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell us about the
upcoming event.
Yeah,
yes.
That's coming up on Wednesday. Tell us all about that.
So, I'm very, very excited about this event. It's called Unmasking Domestic Violence. It'll be at the London Bridge Convention Center on Wednesday, October 25th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We'll have Grace Arts there, which we're very pleased with as well, doing some monologues. We will also have beverages and food. There will be a silent auction, 50-50 drawing, have some door prizes.
All the good stuff.
The tickets are $25 a piece. Tables are $200. The donations and all the money going to this proceeds are going to be going to our art department that Jana runs to help clients of domestic violence with healing and art, so painting, drawing,
mm-hmm.
all that wonderful stuff that we're going to do.
You know, and we were talking off the air that this it is amongst the many activities and functions you perform at Interagency. This is specializing in the domestic violence
yeah.
issues
mm-hmm.
here, and you were making us aware here of the fact that this is a problem here.
It's a problem.
It's happening
everywhere.
Right?
Yeah, it's happening everywhere. But it's not just in the present, it's also in your past. So that can be something that will live with you for the rest of your life, and mm. just talking to somebody can make a big difference.
So you know. People that have perhaps grown up with domestic violence in their household, even though maybe they weren't a direct recipient of the physical or verbal beatings or whatever, that this is impacting their subconscious. And
exactly. It still stays with you. It determines a lot of factors in your life growing up.
And so people, what can Interagency do to help people that are...
So if you're having problems or you're... in a situation that has made you uncomfortable, you feel uncomfortable, just come down and talk to us, and you know, from there we can help you. If you're looking for a job, we have a food bank, we can point you in the right direction for resources in Havasu that a lot of people are not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But we do offer free counseling to men, women, and children of domestic violence, which is, remember, it's physical, emotional, financial, spiritual, verbal. We also offer counseling to the children because they're subjected to it, unfortunately, quite often.
You know, being amongst the uninitiated, we tend to think of it as being a problem that that is set upon ladies, not
mm-hmm.
upon men, but
yeah.
Men are become victims of this.
Very
mm-hmm.
much so, and they are frightened to come in. They think it's embarrassing, and it's
sure.
not. It's
uh-huh.
not embarrassing, you know. It's a fact of life.
Yeah.
So how do the people get, you know, referred to you, or how do they get
into the program. Yeah. How does somebody avail themselves of your services?
All they have to do is call us or come down.
Is it part of the something in the court system?
They do offer classes that Jennifer Meek is in charge of.
We have court ordered domestic violence or anger management or substance abuse or DUI screening as well. So we do see the court ordered clients that come in. And we see
So if the bad circumstance makes it into the legal system,
mm-hmm.
then it is not uncommon for the abuser
mm-hmm.
to be referred to you.
Yes,
as well as the abused.
Mm-hmm.
You, my heavens!
Yes, you can be the abuser and be the abused as well. So
yeah.
it just varies. So we do the counseling on the court ordered end too.
Okay. What a great opportunity to help with this very, very necessary, but sort of an under the radar thing. We don't like mm-hmm. to think that it's a problem, but obviously it is.
Yeah. We're also going to have, which I'm very excited about. I was talking about the arts, and a lot of our victims have done some artwork that is going to mm-hmm. be. Put up at the displayed at the event
mm-hmm.
That is going to be absolutely fantastic. These women and children have went so far out of their way and
mm-hmm.
the expression they put on art is amazing.
Huh.
So that will be displayed as well there.
So there's great therapeutic value in this art, isn't there?
Exactly. And that's what the proceeds and everything will go for is to help people express themselves through the art.
How on earth are you able to handle all of this? How does interagency handle all of this? I mean, logistically, how do you handle it would seem like you would be extremely busy ladies.
I don't think a lot of people know. That's the thing. We're trying to get the word out that we're out there to help.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about... we're talking about the domestic abuse because that is what this event is benefiting, but that's just one of the very many aspects of interagency.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And so, I guess, am I correct in saying them to our listeners that if you find yourself in a problem time, financial or emotional or not necessarily a victim of abuse or an abuser, but just if this is a troubling time for you, that interagency perhaps is the first stop you should make.
Yep, we are more than welcome to help you out
mm-hmm.
and get you pointed in the right yep. direction. But
so where do people go? How do they launch this? What should a listener do right now?
They can go down to 1940 Mesquite. They're also more than happy to call us at 453-5800, of course, area code 928,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they start at. And if we can't mm-hmm. help them, then we can definitely point them
in the right direction.
Yeah.
We have a lot of resources.
Yeah.
Indeed. That's wonderful. And I think perhaps, certainly I was not aware of the depth of your problem-solving abilities.
Mm-hmm.
My heavens. So,
go ahead.
Is it time to pay some bills?
No, I was going to
pay.
That's coming up.
That's the way we know where the important stuff is.
Pretty soon.
Okay. Let's go back and touch on the event again, since we've now told people what their money is going to help fund. Let's tell them the great story of the event again.
So, it's called Unmasking Domestic Violence. It will be at the London Bridge Convention Center, Wednesday, October 25th, from 6 to 8 p.m. There will be food. We will have beverages there as well. There's a silent auction,
mm-hmm.
raffle prizes. You will be viewing artwork of survivors. And Grace Arts will be there doing a monologue called Invisible Prisons.
Mm.
And again, the tickets are $25 a piece. You can buy them at the door. You can come down and purchase them at the interagency. $200 a ticket or a table. and of course, the donations are supporting our healing arts program. So it's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, and this is a great opportunity to help in a very worthwhile cause here in a painless fashion. Get an enjoyable evening, see some art, and help Interagency with this very fine work that they're doing for our community and in other areas as well. Can we touch on all of the aspects of what Interagency does?
Besides counseling and for offenders and victims, we have a food bank. We have healthy families. We also have numerous programs going on at nighttime, yoga art for kids. There's groups for support for mothers that are able to come to, whether it be art or whether they're just talking and the kids can go to the other program that's supported by two of our counselors. And the food bank, of course.
The SAP program that we're in schools.
The ISAP program in schools, yep.
And what does that entail?
It's the student assistant program. They go in and we, you know, have little groups of children and help them just realize, you know, their feelings and just to go through, you know, the situation that they're not alone, you know.
And how are you made aware of that, of the need for that? Do the teachers call you and suggest you come to a class? Shall we see what our caller has to say here?
Well, I don't know if that's Buster Johnson.
Oh, Buster can wait.
Yeah. So we'll
stand by then.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you what. We're going to take our break.
That's a good idea.
And then we'll do
okay.
That's how we'll do it. Okay. So where is my music? I don't know.
It's Monday.
All right. All right, well, let's take our break. I'm coming back here, and we are back on the air. We are back with Buster Johnson. Hello, Buster. How you doing?
Good morning. Good to see everybody.
Okay. Well, where are you calling from?
I've got to go to a meeting with the health department, so for some reason we had it scheduled for next week, so we were messed up on our time, so that's why I'm calling in.
Okay. All right, well, I just want to mention that some things are going on. Number one.
Yes, indeed.
Coming up tomorrow night is A Taste of Havasu at the Sarah Park Rodeo Grounds. It's from 5 to 8 p.m., and it is, the program is there's like 24 different restaurants that are showing up, and they are giving a little taste of them. Actually, you can eat for the rest of the night.
Sort of an unlimited buffet from the various food suppliers there.
And we are selling tickets here at the radio station. They're $20 today. And tomorrow now, I think they're $25. I think they go up in price. So you got to get them today. So give us a call here at the radio station, 855-9336, and or come on down and we will sell them to you, okay? All right. All right, so Buster, what's going on in the county business?
It's pretty quiet now. Like I said, right now we're looking at updating our community health improvement plan, which goes to Kingman Regional Medical's putting that on with, or co-sponsor with Mojave County Health, and it kind of just goes over a plan for the whole county, and we're just looking at that right now. It's about the only thing going on, kind of waiting for see what Trump does in Washington, D.C., if anybody ever quits fighting, and we can get back to some kind of semblance of government.
I don't think that's likely, is it?
It doesn't sound like it. It's like a new fight every day, you know.
Well, speaking of fighting, there's been fighting going on in the Republican Party in Mojave County.
Oh.
What's going on with this?
I'm not involved in that. I know some precinct committee people have resigned.
Sue Donahue, one of them?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Doing quite a few of them. you know, that's right. They're elected precinct committee men, and from what I understand, they're not happy with the way things are going, and, you know, it's their right to step down if they don't want it. You can't force anybody to be elected, and they've taken that move, so.
So not happy with the things that are going in the local party functions, or is that what?
From what I understand, yes.
Uh-huh.
I know one of them, I don't think it had much to do, but I know they keep bringing up bylaw changes, and bylaw changes have been going on since I was chair when I left. God, was it 2, 4, 6, 8, about 9 years ago.
Uh-huh.
We had the bylaws ready to go, and they were delayed. and not that much time, or 2, 4. Nah, they called it 5 years, I guess. 5 years, and they still haven't got the bylaws changed. And those need to be updated from time to time. But I mean, just like everything else, you get a lot of disagreement, and you know, not much positive being pushed forward. So that frustrates.
Wait a minute, is that Mojave County or is that Washington?
It's like everywhere, you know, the disagreements that go on. It's just a struggle for everything. So,
how is our Mojave County funding and budgeting and things doing? When we last talked, there were some issues that weren't that weren't happy ones. Are they all smoothing out? And are we having plenty of money to fund all of our projects and sheriff's cars and all of the important stuff?
What is this, Depression Radio you're writing?
Very good.
continue to ignore the debt that's rising with the retirement system. And Roger Galloway from my office went down and gave another speech for me with the group of legislatures that are trying to get something done and taking input in on, you know, what we think would fix the problem. You lay the blame where the blame is. You know, it came from the state and the cities and the counties, and the fire districts had no input into it. And, you know, they should be the ones to take care of it. But if they're not going to, then the county really needs to look at, you know, some kind of financing mechanism, because it is, I think it's $40 million that we've got to come up with. You know, same thing with the cities, and, you know, a lot of them are, you know, I mean, they're millions and millions of dollars in the hole. So I'm not sure what the debt is now, but a couple months ago for Mojave County in total, not for the county, but for the fire districts and the cities, was $156 million. You know, and nobody had budgeted for that, so kind of hard to pull that out of thin air. You know?
So at some point, we're going to have to come up with a magic $156 million just for that?
Well, that's between the fire districts, the cities, and the county. All of them had their own little individual amounts they owe. I can't remember. The county owes, I think, about $40 million. And I can't remember what Havasu was, but it's more than what the county owes. Because they had more law enforcement, I believe. But, yeah, it's up there quite high. I think the city borrowed some money this year to do it. We just paid on the interest, so the principal's still there and accruing interest every day. So that's...
So Buster, how does that work? Will the other shoe fall magically one day, and then the balance is due on the spot, or can it just continue to be brushed aside?
It can't really continue to be brushed aside. I know some cities are, you know, have talked about looking at bankruptcy, which isn't a good deal, because you have, you know, law enforcement and fire personnel who have, you know, given their 20, 30 years, whatever, and you know, they've paid into the retirement system and done what they were supposed to do, and because the state has made a mistake and now they want more money from the cities or the county, and they can't afford it, you know, if they go into bankruptcy, you can't, well, you can, but it's not really fair to the people that keep their entire life and expecting something in return and not getting it. And it's not like, I mean, there are exceptions, some people in the that make a tremendous amount of money, but generally, people are just getting by with their retirement. It's not like they're getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, so
conceivably, someone who is a retired policeman from our area and that their pension could be could evaporate as a consequence of this, or would it suffer a reduction, or what if the shoe dropped and Havasu's whatever 40 million of this couldn't be paid?
Well, I think that the ones Havasu hasn't mentioned that they can't pay it, and I believe they can cover it one way or the other, and the county it can cover it. I mean, we'll have to go into debt and, you know, through some kind of financing to do it. But they were areas, I think it was in the Prescott area. I'm not sure if it was Prescott, Prescott Valley. One of those towns over there was considering it because they just had such an amount of debt, and they're so strung out on their money now that they just have nowhere to go to get that money. Mm-hmm. You know, and some places, you know, it's the cheaper option. You know, you saw that happen in San Diego and other places in California where they, you know, they just filed bankruptcy, get off underneath it, and then tried to refinance the money they could. But yeah, it's a scary proposition for
them. Sure.
And especially when they have no control, it's not like they've been, you know, the police and fire have been demanding more and more money.
Yeah.
When they hire on, they're told what they have to pay, and if there's any increases, they're told what the increases are. They don't get to negotiate those.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want to do this. And most of them, when they come on, the last thing, but they're not really thinking about retirement. They're thinking about, you know, putting out fires and arresting people or whatever they want to do, and now they're getting to be older and trying to figure out how they're going to handle their medical bills and everything else, and they're looking for money, and they don't have the, you know, if the funds aren't there, that really puts them in a tremendous bind. And the state, you know, the one idea, because they always, you know, you hate to have, you know, complain about stuff with not an answer, and, you know, my idea is this, I don't know what, like, a 1 cent sales tax would do for the state and how long it would take to cover that debt, but, you know, the state caused the problem if they put that sales tax in maybe for a short period of time, you know, like the Governor Brewer did at that one time when they needed money, you know, she had it put in and then sunsetted it. You know, that might be a way to go because each city's different. And where the retirement is different with the state, a lot of times they go into independent retirement systems, so the cities or the counties have no more financial obligations once the person retires. But in Arizona, it's set up to where if you're the last person to have the fireman or policeman when they're retired, you have to pay their retirement. So a lot of these cities, you know, thought they were pretty pretty smart by, you know, stealing firemen or policemen from cities after they've been trained and everything, but now they're getting their retirement. So, you know, so that's why they might have a proportionate amount of retirement money that they owe.
So is it legally possible for a city, as you say, Havasu appears to be solvent, but were it not, and were they to file bankruptcy, is this a debt that the city could bankrupt on and be discharged in bankruptcy? I mean, could people's pensions vaporize in this?
It has in other states.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
Arizona would or not, I don't know. The problem comes from because most all of us, you know, we're... You can't really go a month without a paycheck coming in.
Sure.
We all have bills to pay, and these are firemen and policemen are just like every other city.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to eat, you know. Somebody expects them to pay for the electricity and the water bill and everything else. And while you have savings, you don't really have that much savings to last you, you know, too long of a time. And any time it goes, if it stops, even if it's for 1 month or, you know, 3 months, which is really a short time in the legal system, it can really put a hurt on our people.
Oh my gosh! Yes, indeed.
Just cars and, you know, car payments and gas, and, you know, it's a struggle for them, and it's not a way we should treat our people. I mean, if you're gonna hire them and promise them something, you know, you could look at it during the time, and that's part of the problem. They haven't really readdress the situation. It's kind of like with the retirement I'm on from LA County. When I retired, they said, this is what we're going to give you. and we can periodically have pay increases, but those are only like pretend money. Okay. At any time we have a downturn or we don't have the investments paying off, we can drop back to what we started out at, which is better than not having any money.
Sure.
And they didn't set it up that way here in Arizona, and their investment obviously weren't as good as they thought they were.
Buster, let me interrupt you. I think we got to pay some bills here. We'll be right back.
All right, we'll be right back. Don't go away. And we're back on Speak Out on this Monday, brought to you by Patio Paradise, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Sam Shooter's Emporium, Interstate Batteries, Shagru's Family of Restaurants, Bradley Ford, and Herb Zerbs.
They're good folks out there. Give them a shot at your business. That's all they're looking for.
Absolutely.
Hey, Kevin, before we go back to our supervisor, Johnson, here, we had our previous guests were kind of lost in the transition here.
That's right.
And we should remind our listeners that upcoming on Wednesday at the London Bridge Convention Center is their Unmasking Domestic Violence event. Food and beverages, silent auction, raffle, prizes. They were very pleased about the artwork done by the survivors from the interagency. And that's at the London Bridge Resort. This Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m., tickets are only $25, so go and do yourselves a favor, have an enjoyable evening at the resort, and help a real good cause of the Interagency Council's victim services.
And the number to call at Interagency is 453-5800. That's 453-5800. And you can talk to Kathy, and she'll take the call probably.
Yes.
Okay. And we're back with Buster Johnson. Let's see. I was just going to say, I mean, there's not much going on in county business lately. There was a vote the other day. You're talking about fees or something. You voted against it. I don't understand what the whole question was that you guys were trying to figure out, and why did you say no?
you're talking about the fee schedule?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I think that's what it's all about. You had a no vote on it.
Right. It was brought up. You know, periodically we update our fees. Now, fees are calculated by what it costs. We, as a government, whether it's city or county, we're not supposed to charge any more than what it actually costs. We can't make money on somebody. Okay. So say it's building permit or whatever kind of fee, it has to be a break-even deal. And it's never really break-even. We always end up losing money because by the time we set the fee, you know, it's gone up because of gas or whatever else. But
sure.
And the reason you keep it at the cost of what the request is so that the other taxpayers don't subsidize somebody who's building a new home or getting a subject permit or whatever their fee schedule is. It's been quite a few years since the fees were updated. That's good news and bad news. It's like nobody likes it every year when you come back and want $5 more and $10 more. But at the same time, if you wait 4 years and now you want $200 more, you know, nobody appreciates the years in between. So there were some that had gone up quite a bit. We had the public hearings and did the increase, and then all of a sudden it became an issue. It went through all of our county committees. We sought public input on it, and there was just a few people that didn't like it, and now we're sending it back and to be relooked at again, which means that if the fees, like staff said, were the correct fees, the county general taxpayers are subsidizing all these people in between time that are getting things done. So we had everything in front of us. We had our public hearings. There was nobody speaking, you know, in opposition to this, or very minimal, if at all. I don't remember anybody even coming forward to speak against it. And now we're dragging it out for months and months. I think it makes us look bad. I think at the end of it, it'll be pushed through again. So you know, it's never good to fight the same battle two and three times.
So what was the vote about, though? What was that you voted against? And I don't understand what you're trying to...
Yeah.
The vote was to go back out and redo the whole thing over again, just go back and do all the hearings and everything. You know, we've already done it once. We followed all the laws. We didn't, you know, sidestep any laws. So now, if nobody showed the first time, I'm guessing there's not going to be many people that care the second time.
Okay.
So was that just a potentially easy way to set it aside rather than to address the issues?
In my opinion, it's just, you know, wanting to pretend like, you know, we care. I mean, it was out there before. Nobody had an input, and now we can act like, oh, well, we went out and redid it twice.
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah, really let us know what you think.
Yeah. So, most people, if the fees are reasonable, they're not going to do it. And there's been some false statements out there. Somebody was saying that, oh, the county's going to go after dog kennels and the number of dogs you can have. I have heard nothing about that. They are looking at increasing the fees on people who have dog or kennel facilities because we have to kind of inspect them. And you recall it was last year when we had that problem. We had to take all those dogs in that were being abused. If we don't have the money to go out and inspect them, then the regular taxpayer who has no interest in having a kennel is subsidizing all these places that have the kennels.
Sure.
Cover their own, you know, the requests that they make. If they want to have these kennels, they have to be able to support them, and part of that is fees for us to go out and inspect. The sheriff who goes out, the county health department, building and zoning goes out there. It's kind of like with inspections for restaurants, you know. I mean, we've come a long ways in those, and it would actually be nice if we had more inspections, you know, to keep everybody on their toes and protect the public. But if you do that, then you've got to increase the fees again.
Yeah, got to pay for more people to
pay for it. And I've had restaurant people who have asked to have the fees increased because they say, you know, sometimes getting the help is hard, and if we come in and inspect and then staff gets slopped, you know, staff's like, well, they're not going to come around again for 6 months or a week, or, you know.
Yeah, here they come, sweep up.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know what? We're going to take our last break real quick.
Okay.
Stick around.
All right. Up north of Kingman, but it's on federal land.
And we're back on Speak Out here on this Monday, brought to you by Bradley Chevrolet, Springburg McAndrew Financial Services, Horizon Community Bank, Connected Computer, making your technology work, Michael Allen Furnishings, and GDK CPA LLC. And we're back with our guest who is on the phone here, and that's Buster Johnson. And Buster, I know there's some things that are happening on along the lines of water rights or things like that that the county has been dealing with?
Well, we have hired a lobbyist. Obviously, this is something I didn't support, but we're paying $12,000 a month for a lobbyist to look at water rights. And we just talked about being in debt, you know. And then we hired an attorney for, I don't want to say, $395 an hour. And one of my complaints about that was there was no cap or we'll cap it at $10,000 a month or, you know, there was nothing there on that. And it's mostly in the Kingman area, and one of my problems was, well, the county doesn't have water rights. The city do, you know, like Lake Havasu City has the allotment out of the Colorado River, Bullhead has their allotment, Kingman had an allotment which they sold, but they're pumping groundwater. The county's not in that position where we own all this land where we go out and take water out and start selling it. We do have a couple of improvement districts where we've taken over that, you know, people have asked us to take over the service on water, but we don't really have the money to be hiring lobbyists for $12,000 a month to look at water rights, especially in the Kingman area when Kingman's not, you know, coughing up any money to help offset that. So that's kind of where we're at. But the majority of the board wanted to do it, so we're going ahead with it. In the solar, we've got some wind turbines that are, they're going to be having some big hearings up north of Kingman. It's on BLM land, which if you're into the green power, that's a good thing. Our neighbor to the south, La Paz, they're looking at bringing in a big solar project, and that's being helped with by Senator Flake and Congressman Gosar to get the BLM land and get that sold to them. And they're going to be putting up one of those large towers that are like 600-700 feet high where they have the kind of the greenhouse around it, which is direct the power at the tower. And so that should be, you know, some jobs and some income coming in for them. Which is a much needed thing. They really need some economic growth in La Paz County. They've gone through some tough times here lately, and I think the power is going to be purchased by, I think it's a California power. It's a joint power authority. I think there is what they're looking at. So that should be something good.
So will the county then own the generating facility? I mean, will they be the one selling?
It had a like a 20-year. There was an option to buy. They were going to enter into an agreement to buy the power and then buy the land or sell the land, either one.
Hmm.
But I think it's a tremendous amount because it was quite a large area that they're looking at taking over.
Hmm.
Anybody who drives to Vegas sees that one they have out there, and I don't believe that's as big as the one they're planning in La Paz.
The one on the dry lake just south of Railroad Pass?
Yes. On old 95 when you come up that way.
Yep.
Yeah, so that should work out good. But yeah, everything else is pretty quiet. The county right now, and it'll get quieter as it gets closer to Christmas time. Everything always get quiet. Nobody cares about government at Christmas time. Like bills being due, then that's when I always dislike the government when you got to write that tax check. So,
So do we have a county business that's awaiting actions in Washington and things? Or are we are our friends in Washington doing good by us?
Well, right now the one we have is the land that we're still trying to do the land swap on, and it's moving ahead, and it's, you know, not going as fast as I like. Not going as slow as I would, you know. So it's moving ahead. If we get that would be something that would push forward. Everything else is that we don't really have much else that's moving forward at the federal level, which is a good thing right now because there seems to be the blocks back there with trying to figure out taxes and everything else that they're doing. So hard to get anything through right now. We're looking at trying to get the withdrawal done up on the Arizona Strip, where they took away our ability to mine the uranium. We're getting all of our congressional people and all of our senators are pushing that with not all of them, the Dems aren't pushing it, but the Republicans are pushing it with Zinke to see if we can get that withdrawal taken away so we can start or at least look at the mining of uranium and other minerals that are out there. The companies are behind us too, looking there, putting some pressure in, because that seems to be what President Trump likes, is the business growth. And then we've had some more information come out, you know, which kind of throws monkey wrenches in with the Russians who had bought part of the companies up there at one time. Because we're getting mining while everybody thinks it's a big business, and it is overseas where they don't have as many EPA rules.
Yeah.
In the United States, it's not that. They're not rolling in the dough like other companies are, so we basically have one company that owns all those rights up there now, and the one gentleman that's bought them, he bought something that's got a 25-year moratorium on it, and he's got to pay the fees every year, and only asks you got to do so much, you know. So, you know, hopefully we can get that going, and not only for, you know, him to make money, but, you know, we need the uranium for, our ships at sea, and for medical research, and, you know, it's not just atomic bombs that we use uranium for. Our daily lives everywhere.
Yeah, that's okay. One that tends not to think about needing to produce uranium to keep the wheels of commerce turning.
That's true, and it's surprising how much is used in the medical fields, you know. The one plant that we have up there that crushes the rock also take medical waste and take the uranium out of that and reuse it again, too. So been doing that quite a bit, so you're not having the waste being stored like, you know, we've seen in the past. You know, that was a big issue here when they were going to do it in Nevada. And in some place you have to store it. If you're going to use it, somebody has to take responsibility for it.
So we recycle uranium?
Yes, they have.
No kidding. My God.
No, they don't. It's basically a good thing because, I mean, they could ship it to some storage facility where it stays for the next, whatever, years. But they ship it down, and they ship a good-sized quantity of it, and then the plant pay them for it because they're not making that big of money on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they recycle it, take everything out, and get the uranium out, and then are able to reuse the uranium. But it keeps the plant in operation and keeps those people working there, because if the plant ever shuts down with all the EPA regulations, we'd ever get it.
Never be open again.
Right, and then that just moves all the jobs and everything overseas.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I guess that's about all I had for you, Roger, Buster. I don't know why I said Roger.
Well, Mr. Galloway.
I don't know. It's just one of those weird things that happens. Once in a while, I come up with a name out of nowhere, and it's from...
And we've got to use it.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Have to go by now on, you know?
Yeah. Anything else? We've got maybe about a minute.
No, I think everything else is going pretty good. You know, October's a big month for, especially in the Havasu area, for all the events that go on, so we're doing good that way, and, you know, the sales tax dollars seem to be increasing all the time, so that's good for our people, and, you know, hopefully we'll see, you know, nothing but good stuff coming next year.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well that's
thank you, Buster.
What we can say.
All right. You guys take care.
Thank you very much for calling.
Anytime.
You bet.
Bye.
All right. We just have a couple of things we can mention we didn't mention before.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is the Taste of Havasu coming up tomorrow, and, of course, we have tickets here at the radio station. They're $20.
Yes. Tracy herself is going to sell you tickets.
That's for sure. So you can come down and you can purchase them, or you can call us, 855-9336, and you can purchase your tickets. It's all for the proceeds for the K-12 Foundation. It's out at Sarah Park, and it's food from local restaurants and wine and beer tasting.
All that good
live
stuff.
Live music. A big deal.
Yeah.
Then coming up on also tomorrow is Three Redneck Tenors. The Lake Havasu High School Performing Arts Center, 7 p.m. Tickets are $25. Now, these three classical artists can be described as a Duck Dynasty meets Carnegie Hall. Community Concert Association hosts the performance. And that's, of course, tomorrow. Coming up on Friday, it's Concert in the Park at London Bridge Beach Stage, 5 to 9 p.m. It's a free event. Crosscut is in concert. No coolers. Bring your own seating. They have food and drink vendors on site. For more information and the schedule, 453-8686. 453-8686. On Friday, there's a Halloween celebration at the shops at Lake Havasu on Highway 95 from 4 to 6 p.m. And Saturday, the London Bridge Days Grand Parade. Okay?
Plenty to do right here in town.
Absolutely. Hannity is next up on KNTR Talk 106.3. Fox News is at the top of the hour. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you again here tomorrow. And thank you, Jim.
My pleasure.